Jacob all the way around. Good singing. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, you're going to mark a place that's over there. We'll be looking at it here shortly. But over in the book for our text is in John chapter number 12, and about verse number 32. That parable that we'll be looking at is over in the book of Luke in chapter number 8. And it'll be a while where we'll get to that. All right, if you're able to stand, verse number 32, John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12 and in verse number 32. All right, in the passage that we're looking at, and Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," that's the cross right there, "will draw all men unto me." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good that it is to be in God's house. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. We thank you for those that you've saved, those that you're going to. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for the promise of your coming. We look with great anticipation to thy soon coming again. Now bless, I pray, this congregation, and be with those that could not be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. All right, I want to preach a little while this morning on a subject in time, preaching the word in the power of Christ. Now, the Bible said that whenever we begin to look into it, Jesus had said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." There is an unseen force called the Holy Spirit that draws men and women and boys and girls unto Christ. When the gospel is being preached, my job's not drawing, my job's preaching. Your job's not drawing, your job is teaching or preaching or whatever capacity God has given you. Now, religion always has, is right now, will be tomorrow. Religion wants to hurry up the work of God, and they like to see a profession and a confession without the drawing power of Christ being upon it. Having to talk people into it. I guarantee you right now, I don't try to ask any questions about it and all that business there, but, you know, if you bring your kid forward and say, "Hey, my kid wants to be saved and all that, I'm going to go ahead and pray with them, put them in the baptistry," and because that's your business. You understand what I'm telling you? But I got to tell you something. All of these girls are buying and boys are buying and all these kinfolk are buying. I've never one time had one of them bow their head and repeat this prayer. Never. I can tell you why. It's because there's enough confusion whenever they just try to come the blood-bought way and they don't totally understand what's going on. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, religion always has. Religion wants to hurry you up. Religion wants to see something in the manner of outward confession and so forth. And so as a result of that, they're trying to work without the drawing power of the Lord. Why do you think there's so many Baptists going to hell when they die? Why do you think so many Baptists, buddy, that as you go there, if you're a stranger and you turn loose a Bible preacher, they get mad and want to jump ship real quick on you? Why do you think that is? I'll tell you why. They're offended at the word of the Lord. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said that you've got to be drawn. You're sitting here, boy, girl, man, or woman, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to be drawn by the power of God. In fact, is you're going to be drawn one way or another. You're either going to be drawn to Christ and to those that are converted. You're going to be drawn that direction, or you'll be drawn away with the wicked. In fact is, make no mistake about it, over there in the book of Psalm, in chapter number 28, the Bible says in about verse number 3 in this lesson that you're looking at, is that you'll find we're drawn one direction or we're drawn the other one. Psalm 28, verse number 3, here's what he said, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity." That's where you're going. If you're not saved here this morning, you're drawn the wrong direction. "Draw me not away with the workers of iniquity, but speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart." In other words, they talk a good story, but mischief is in their heart. In this lesson, you'll find out, I'm glad to know that while I used to be drawn with the wicked, I've been drawn to Christ. And as a result of that, he showed me myself like he saw me. And not only that, but he put a desire in my heart and washed me by his blood, gave me repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, that's what he's done for you. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that the Bible teaches us over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 69, it's about verse number 18. But in that passage there, you'll find being drawn to Christ. Here's what he said, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Let me tell you, the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil would like to get you so tripped up and messed up to where he messes up your mind and messes up your life and messes up everything that you have in the way of a future by simply dangling some trinket or somebody along your way in life. I want to tell you something right now is that if you're not careful, you'll end up like Elizabeth Taylor did. She married for her eighth time. Brother Dub Hendricks said that her slogan was, I'll not keep you long, darling. You know what was wrong with somebody like Liz? She was in it for what she could get out of it. And so when somebody else came along, oh my, I wish I'd waited on them. She didn't wait. She just went ahead and went after them. Oh, I wish I'd waited on them. Didn't wait, just went out. And eight times, I think in America, eight times back then is all you could marry. I don't know what it is now. Most of the boys and girls and women that we're talking about, you'll deal with them up and down the road of life. And one of the big problems that you'll have is, hey, are y'all married? Well, only in the sight of God. No, honey, you're married in everybody else's sight but God's. God doesn't work that way. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that if you've been drawn by the power of God, drawn to Christ. You know, there's a passage over there in the book of Psalm chapter 21, and it's about verse 2, and you can turn or just listen to it one way or the other. But in Psalm chapter number 21, verse number 2, in the passage there, whenever you read that, he's talking about a desire. And he says there in verse 2, thou hast given him his heart's desire. Now watch this. You know who gives you the desire of your heart? The Lord does. That doesn't mean in that passage that whatever you want, he's going to give it to you, money, material, and things of that nature. He's going to give you the right desire that you ought to have, that you ought to exercise in him. Now here's what that is. Here's what that is. When God puts the right desire in your heart by the preaching of the word. See, our job's preaching the word. And when God puts the right desire, it makes you want to miss hell and make heaven. It makes you want to come to him and to confess you're hell-bound, and want to be saved by the grace of God. That's what it means. God will give you that desire. You're here this morning, if you're saved, God gave you the desire to want to be. And if you're not, then the rest of the world, here's the way it operates. I just want the preacher to get through so I can leave and go home. See, your desire's not from God. The desire that God puts in your heart and mind is that whenever you are lost without God, he puts the desire for you to be sick of yourself, sick of your sin, and ready to come as an empty-handed beggar to the Savior. Now, I want to say to you, whenever I mention that, could I ask you this morning, what is your desire? Say, what was your desire? I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible, you're going to find out we're not dependent. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, we're not dependent upon the law of God. We're dependent upon a better hope. We're dependent upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's able to snatch us as a brand from the burning. Now, there's a passage in Hebrews 10 that we ought to look at. And because of this drawing power that we're looking at, is that in Hebrews in chapter number 10, that about verse number 22 over there in the book of Hebrews. And here's what he says, that we're to draw near unto God with a true heart. Look at him. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to tell you, when you come to Jesus Christ, you'll have to come honestly. You'll have to come with a true heart. You'll have to come being washed by the blood and poured into the family of God. Make no mistake, if you get washed by the blood of the Lamb, you'll have to be honest with God in your heart when you confess your need for Christ. Now, notice, if you will, there's another passage there in Hebrews 10 that we ought to look at in verse number 38. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse number 38, but he said, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father's in me and that I in him. Now look at verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped. Oh, I mean, John, no wonder we can't read it right. It's in the Hebrews in chapter 10. I thought it didn't look right, and then I thought it didn't sound right, and then I thought it was my bifocals. And all that business there. I can tell you right now that Hebrews chapter 10, look in verse 38. The Bible said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, look at it, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them, men of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anybody went forward and made a profession, did well for a while, then just got to running the roads like a wild ass's colt and lived like the devil and just forgot about everything they'd ever been taught all their life? Everybody just began to run with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you couldn't tell them nothing whatsoever. They were so cold and so callous and so hard-hearted. Now, you know what that is? That's somebody that came forward that didn't have a true and didn't have an honest heart. See? Just because you go through the motions. We've had many a boy that would go through the motions to be able to get a girl that was a church-going girl. We've had a few girls in life that would go through the motions just to get a good, godly, church-going boy. And let me tell you right now, the devil, if you're not doing anything already, you're pretty safe. The devil don't want you doing nothing. But if you're a child of God, buddy, and living for God and faithful to God and in service to God and got the touch and mark of God upon you, you're the very one, buddy, the devil's going to try to go after. See? I got to tell you something, is that you're going to find the Bible said over in the book of James chapter 4 and about verse number 8, if you'll draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. And the Bible said if you'll cleanse your heart and cleanse your hand, you sinners. Now, in Luke, I told you to mark that in chapter number 8. And I want you to look over there in the book of Luke, and I want you to see it in about verse number 15 in the book of Luke in chapter 8. Now, the Bible said that when you look there, that you're going to find out that what ends up happening, there's a parable that's being taught. Not only is it taught here, it's been taught in Matthew and Mark as well. But here's what he says in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 15. He says, but that on the good ground there are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, and they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. Now, watch this here when you look into it, is that when you hear the word of God, you're either going to receive it or reject it. But if you've got an honest heart and you're really real with God, it's going to bring forth a change in your life that others can see that are around about you. In this lesson that you're looking at, and by the way, let me say to you that you cannot help but, if you're a child of God, you cannot help but the subject's going to come up. Yes. Something about what the Lord's done, something about how good God's been, something about, and God's going to bring to your mind something that you ought to be saying to somebody up and down the road. It might be, where are you going to church at? What are you doing? So forth and on. And all that business. When did you get saved? I had a man the other day, you know, and as a result of that, he had talked about how he nearly about died, so forth and all. I said, for some reason or another, the Lord's kept you here and tried to spare. You know, something about when you mention the name of the Lord, it all of a sudden gets their attention. Doesn't mean they'll get saved. They just know somebody has looked beyond this world for help and guidance and leadership, so forth and all. Now watch this. This Bible said if you've got a good and honest heart, you heard the word. Not only that, but you're wanting to keep the word. Not only that, you'll bring forth fruit. And let me tell you what bringing forth fruit is. It involves, number one, your lip. You know, when did you get saved? If you're a child of God, and you're saved, you can tell that. You can tell it. I just want to say I thank God for saving my soul. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God I can see. Yeah, that's a very simplified thing, but you know that. There's some other things that God does for you, but bringing forth fruit unto God involves your lip and a testimony that you can testify in His behalf. It not only involves your lip, it involves your life. Yeah, you know, when a person's been converted, there's just something about them, because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And there's just something about a person that's been converted, that's been changed, that the world can see there's a difference between being religious and being saved by the grace of God. Now, I tell you what happens is, whenever you get saved, it'll not only make your lip and your life being convicted and changed, but you'll be concerned about others that are up and down the road of life. You know, I ask every now and again, and I don't want to. I realize, you know, sometimes we get backslid and we're full of ourselves and get lackadaisical, this and that, and we know inside we ought to be doing better. We just don't. And let me say to you that here's the way that it works, is that whenever you got born again, the first thing that happened to you, God brought to your mind and your memory some people that I don't think is going to be saved. See? You may not ever do anything about it but witness to them, be faithful to God in the house of God. But when you got saved, it made you realize there's a bunch of family, friends, acquaintances, colleagues at work that doesn't know the Lord. Now, in the lesson, somebody told me one time, and they said, "Well, now, preacher, I never have thought about anybody else that didn't know the Lord." Well, then it's you. See? I mean, you go to church and this and that, but that we're talking about something God's put on the inside of you. We're talking about when you came with an honest and true heart, something God put on the inside of you. That's not something you have to learn in Sunday school. Now, when you got saved by the grace of God, He made you concerned about others that were not saved. You know, the Bible says over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 11, we're not turned there, but in about verse number 30, if I remember right, that he that winneth souls is wise. Now, here's what that does not mean. That does not mean get somebody to bow their head, repeat this prayer, and so forth. Here's what it means to win a person to the Lord. It means, number one, preaching the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel will give you the kind of desire that you ought to have, and that is to be born again into the family of God. Listen, let me tell you, our job is inviting people to come to the house of God. Our job is preaching and praying for them in their behalf, and then waiting on the Lord until He comes knocking and comes drawing upon their heartstrings. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that in the book of John, St. John chapter 6, verse number 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." See? No man can come unless you be drawn by the Spirit of God. Now, I got to say to you, in this world that we're living in, either the religious world is going to draw at you, or either the non-religious world is going to be drawing at you, or either the righteousness of God is going to be drawing at you, one way or the other. Make no mistake about it, I'm glad to be able to report unto you that narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I want to tell you, He said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." I can remember the day He came knocking and chose me. I remember that whenever I didn't respond right away, that it troubled me. He didn't leave me alone. You talk about, and I don't know if this is even a good phraseology or not, but you talk about a hound from heaven, He had me treed. Make no mistake about it. We talk every now and again, we're cut up and go on about some of these things and some of them old-timey sayings, you know. And we'll pick at each other every now and again. Somebody said something here to one of the other members there, just cutting up and going on, and that sounded harsh. And I said, "My word, I heard Festus say to Doc that was saying some hard things to him, he said, that's harder than I'd slam a door. Now, I want to tell you, you may want to slam the door on what you hear from humanity, but you better not be like Judas, who kissed the door of heaven and died and went to hell. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word. And Lord, there may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that you've been knocking on their heart's door for some time. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to finally call out and call unto thee, and then to come forward and make it known that they've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. We want to say thank you for saving us. And Lord, we ask you to help us use our lip and life to speak the gospel message of Christ. And may you draw others unto thyself. You said that if I be lifted up, we'll draw all men unto me. Do so, I pray thee, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands.